Heather Cox Richardson said in her Thursday video, "Have we lived through a year this week or what?" And I would agree that we have, in fact, lived through a year this week. And I can't think about it without feeling so very angry that I find my fists clenching and my face scowling before I know it. But I'm not going to spend today's sermon on that. And I hope that you're not disappointed. I do hope that you'll take today's sermon to heart and next week's Earth Day service and my husband's sermon on April 26th. He'll be here then. And then I'll be back in the pulpit on May 3rd to tie all of those Sundays together, and we will address some of the current issues then. Today, on this Sunday, when new members are welcomed, I want to talk about church and community a bit. The work party this afternoon reminded me of an experience when I was a teenager. The church that I attended, that I grew up in, also had work days. They did not call them parties. And folks showed up to work on the outside grounds and on the inside, and it was, you know, there were gender roles. The women were on the inside, the men were on the outside. Older children and youth were expected to participate. And on this particular day, several of us youth were there, and the minister's wife handed each of us a knife from the church kitchen. This is where it gets gross, fair warning. She told us that our task was to slide around on the wooden floor under the pews and scrape the chewing gum off that folks had stuck under the seat. Our theologian James Luther Adams says that church is where we practice what it means to be human. And that was a lesson for me in the fascinating and messy world of living in community that we call church. I will say that I actually didn't mind that work. Was it gross? Yes. Had I ever stuck my chewed gum under a church pew? No. Had I ever thought about doing that? Also, no. But let me tell you that plenty of people had. I know. But I mostly didn't mind. I didn't mind that doing that day because, well, for one, it makes a really good story. But that day, I knew that I was part of something. I was not just included in the workday, but trusted with taking care of this building that I call church, the place where I was every Wednesday night and twice on Sundays. It was a shared bonding experience for the youth group that day, and the deeper message was that we belonged to that community, and that belonging meant that we were responsible for it. Belonging meant that a level of energy and commitment were required from us, even the youth, not to help it not merely survive, but thrive. Unitarian Universalists describe this faith as a covenantal faith. Love is the spirit of this church, is the beginning of the covenant that we recite every Sunday. There's also a covenant of loving relations that each person agrees to abide by when they become a member. Both of these covenants are actual and aspirational. The governing board has a covenant. Each of the journey groups has a covenant. The children's classes and the youth group have a covenant that they agree to. So let me be clear that this covenant is not a set of rules. It's an agreement. It's a shared promise. These are shared promises that we make to each other and to this gathered community. And why is this important? Because this is what we have. We don't have creeds. We don't have dogma. What we have, what we do, who we are, is about the particular promises that we make to each other about how we agree to be together. And we are bound at times to break these promises. We are bound at times to break these promises. if not by our own choice, then by an external circumstance or by our own human failings and flaws, our own human nature. There's a saying among ministers that we preach what we need to hear and allow others to listen. Church is where we practice what it means to be human. We are a promise-making, promise-keeping, promise-breaking, we are promise-renewing people. This is true in congregational life, in the public sphere, and in our personal lives. Once I watched someone, it was before we became friends. It was before we really knew each other. I knew who she was, but I didn't know her. But I watched her in a restroom wash her hands and then take the paper towel that she had used to dry her hands and wipe up the splattered water on the counter so that it was dry for the next person. I had never given much thought about that, but I have done it ever since. It is a simple kindness to others that speaks to how to live in community with each other, people we know and perfect strangers. There's a sign in the kitchen of many Unitarian Universalist churches that reads, "You are responsible for your own theology and your own dishes." But the truth may be closer to, we are all in this together. So on this new member Sunday, I thought it prudent to cover a few things about how to be together in a practical way. We don't have an official kitchen here, but we do have food. We also have mice. So you'll notice if you look in most of the cupboards that most of the dishes and utensils are in bins. Or that was very North Carolina, are in bins. Is that the way you would say it? Okay. This, right, Eve? The same is true for the RE space, for many of their supplies. It's important if you get something out of a bin that you make sure the lid is secure on that bin. Please don't leave food out. Close the bins. And don't leave food waste in the trash cans. Speaking of trash, we also don't have a trash service here. Someone takes it home to be picked up at their house. So I invite you, and the cleaners don't take it. So I invite you to think about that. There's no magic spell, or if you've seen that video about the magic table where things disappear on their own, it's the labor of others that makes the magic happen. If you have an event here midweek or on a Saturday, gather up the trash, if it's at least half full, and take it with you. Wipe down the counters, tuck things away. And when we have a big event here, sometimes more than one person needs to take trash home. And maybe consider saying, "Hey, I'll take the trash, I have room." The same with the recycling as well. It has to be taken. Recycling is different than composting. The little paper and clear cups, they compost, but they don't recycle. And only dry things can go in the recycling. Every building, every community has its quirks. And several of ours are documented on a Padlet that we have called What to Know About UUCL. Gabby is going to link that in the Thursday, in the bulletin, yes, in the Thursday email. Think of it as the abbreviated owner's manual for this particular community. It doesn't cover everything, but there's important things in there. So every community has its other quirks too, not just about the building. Every individual, we have our quirks and our druthers and our preferences and our boundaries. Sometimes others leave food behind or leave a mess on the carpet or don't take the trash. It sounds a lot like relationships and families, doesn't it? You know, the cabinet doors stay open. I live with someone, I know how it goes. Most of the time, we manage to work, he does too, by the way. Most of the time, we manage to work things out, those quirky, practical, physical things. That's not the big deal. I've found this community shows a lot of grace to each other. It's a beautiful thing. We can tolerate the trash, That's an annoyance, but one we can live with. But the longer we're together, the more the real people show up, and sometimes we forget what we agreed to. We forget that we agreed to keep love at the center. And we have a hard time remembering what that actually even looks like, too. Dr. John Gottman, a marriage specialist, writes about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the marital apocalypse, he calls it. But they apply to any relationship, really, that means anything. The four horsemen are criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and reverse blame. You can do a simple internet search if you want to know more. Today, I'm focusing on the one that he says is the most serious indicator of a relationship doomed to fail, and that's contempt. When we feel contempt for someone, we can get mean, dismissive. We treat people with disrespect. We mock them with sarcasm. We ridicule. We name call. We can roll our eyes or scoff, and the result is that the person we're directing it toward feels despised and worthless. Contempt assumes a position of moral superiority over others. Maybe it's familiar to you. Maybe you've done it or experienced it. Maybe you feel some contempt right now for things and people on the larger scale. And not only in a community level does that not feel good, it doesn't serve us and it doesn't serve the world. Research shows that couples who are contemptuous of each other are more likely to suffer from colds and flu due to weakened immune systems. In marriages, contempt is the single greatest predictor of divorce. For any relationship to survive, let alone thrive, contempt has to be eliminated, and there are ways to eliminate it, fortunately. It seems foreign to even think about that happening here, but I've seen it happen in communities, so I know that it isn't beyond the realm of possibility. It's very important to interrupt those feelings, both in our personal relationships and in community. There are antidotes, according to Gottman. Again, you can look it up, but I want to mention two of them. One that I think works particularly well here is being honest and transparent about our feelings, using I statements to say what's truly going on with us. And this is an important part of healthy community even before feelings of contempt surface. It's kind of what keeps it from happening. A friend of mine calls this upfrontness. And the second part of upfrontness is the ability to accept the upfrontness of others, to receive their truth. The second antidote is to remind ourselves of the other person's positive qualities, and then to find our gratitude. So let me just, what do I call this? A disclaimer, a caveat, I'm not sure. But let me just say about a word about the contempt we may be feeling these days for people and actions outside this community. We can hold universal love for people whose actions we oppose. We can. But loving broadly like that does not mean accepting harm. Not for ourselves and not for each other. I mean, not for other people. Not for the broad scale either. You know that. I trust that you know that. These simple practices, like all good spiritual practices, help us live out the change and transformation that deepens our spiritual connection and creates a circle of community. Community doesn't happen on its own. Some of you are coming in new today. Well, maybe you've been here a while, but you're coming into this community experiencing a sense of something already established, a structure that's already here. But that's what community takes, a structure. And it will take you going forward to continue to shore up that structure and to keep it strong for others when they arrive. Community is built. It takes maintenance and intention. How we are together is an essential component of living in community. And covenant means that we decide together how we will be together, how we build and maintain our structure. Let me say that differently. How we build and maintain our structure is as important as the outcome. How we go about it is as important as the structure itself. And finally, what do we do when we break our promises to each other? When we are out of covenant, as they say, because it is a given that we will be. One of my best experiences as a child was the vacation Bible school program at the little Quaker church near where I grew up. They seemed like a kinder, gentler people than the hellfire and brimstone church I grew up in, and as an adult now, I know that that was true. They really were. But as a 16-year-old, after being in this vacation Bible school for a week every summer through my childhood, I was asked along with another teenager to teach the 5-year-old class. So about 3 days in, which is kind of that magic number, if you've worked in week-long camps, you know that there's something that happens on that, on some day. something happened between two little girls totally by accident, and one of them was hurt physically. There was a bump or a pinch or an arm caught between the table and a chair. Tears, frustration, and the other child did not mean to hurt the one that was hurt in any way. It was totally unintentional, just an accident of bodies together. And after things calmed down, an apology was issued. "I'm sorry, Janelle, I didn't mean to." And the one who had been hurt said, in a voice that came straight from her parents, "Now, Maggie, are you going to do it again?" We all know the right answer to that question, right? The right answer, we know the tone. We know that the right answer is no, I'm not. I've learned my lesson. I won't do it again. But instead, what came in answer to, "Are you going to do it again?" was a quiet voice telling the truth. "I might." "I might." Those two words, I think, are some of the most honest things I've ever heard in a church. There was no vow of perfection, no guarantee, just an honest statement that having not meant to hurt you in the first place, there's no guarantee that I will not do it again. Just the truth of what it means to be in community with other humans. You do and will love this place well, and then one day you will disappoint it, or you will be disappointed. You will be patient and generous, and then one day you will not. Someone here will hurt you without meaning to, and maybe once or twice meaning to, and you will do the same. Try, try, try not to do it again. But I might, you might. We are a promise-making, promise-breaking, promise-renewing people. That is not a flaw in the design of this community. That is the design. That is the design. We keep showing up. We keep scraping gum off the pews together. We keep wiping down counters. We take out the trash. It's good to have a community to build together, to practice what it means to be human, to know that we belong, that these are our people, and that we belong to each other while we give each other grace as we practice together what it means to be human. Amen, and blessed be.